welcome back to another episode of the Five Red Lights Formula One podcast. This is a podcast about all things Formula One and occasionally other series when they do something interesting. Please don't forget to rate this podcast. We're available and be sure to follow our social media at Five Red Lights Podcast on Instagram and at Five Red Lights on Twitter, even if only to disagree with me. In this episode, I'm going to be reviewing this weekend's French Grand Prix, and in the preview episode that I released on Friday, I did chat quite a lot about the race and how crap it was going to be, and maybe I should do that every week because it was actually very good. Anyway, I was quite wrong and I'm happy about it, but let's go over it. Quali actually gave us quite a lot to talk about. Noticeably was Schumacher getting into Q2. Obviously he was helped by like red flags and stuff that stopped other people stroll and that setting laps. However, getting into Q2 in a Haas, still not terrible, you know, good job Schumacher. It's a shame he binned it and ended up starting P15 and didn't get to participate in Q2, but still, just starting 15th is good. Obviously, Russell started 14th, because he's an absolute Q2 merchant. Would have been P15 under normal circumstances, but obviously Schumacher was there, so, you know, he did well, because I think he has started 15th pretty much every race this season. But, you know, solid from Russell. And obviously in the race, it was one of Williams's, or the best race he's ever had in the Williams, or so he said, so good weekend for them. Next, there was McLaren, who I thought were going to be a lot stronger in quali, based off their Mercedes engine, etc, etc. They weren't, you know, they qualified 8th and 10th, Norris ahead of Ricciardo. Obviously, compared to a few years ago, not terrible, but I did expect them to be further up the field, which I suppose I expected them to be where Ferrari were in quali. Ferrari were obviously a lot better than expected. I thought they'd fall off a lot more. I thought they'd been flattered by street circuits. Monaco, Baku, not really representative of the rest of the season. However, you know, to be fair to them, they did very well. Sainz was the lead, qualified as the lead Ferrari, which, you know, just saying, I did predict that in the preview. But, you know, P5 is where I thought Norris would be, to be honest. So that's a very good quali from Ferrari. Obviously, the race didn't go to plan, but, you know, this section is about quali, and they did okay in quali. Speaking about the other member of the top 10, you've got Gasly, who absolutely loves a P6. He's just either Tsunoda is naff, which, to be fair, you know, he did bottle it in quali. That also helps Schumacher get through, obviously. But, you know, I do think Gasly's he's so comfortable in that AlphaTauri that he can just do what he wants. He can just do what he wants. Like he might fluke a pole at some point. I mean, obviously that's not going to happen. But second row isn't out of his reach if he hooks up an absolutely amazing lap. So yeah, obviously Verstappen on pole, which is bloody beautiful, especially at a track like France where you think Mercedes are going to absolutely wipe the floor, or we did before the weekend. So that was beautiful to see. Obviously pole position didn't last long, it lasted about a corner, but you know, oh well. Unexpected but very nice. Obviously the other Red Bull, P4, Perez, he's doing the job Red Bull need him to do. You know, you saw it in the strategy on Sunday. That's what they've been needing since Ricciardo left, and he's doing it. I don't see any reason he won't get his contract extended, because, you know, let's face it, Albon doesn't deserve to be in that seat, and Tsunoda's not ready, and Gasly has no chance. So Perez will get extended. And then he's qualifying P4, yes. I'm sure Red Bull would like him to be P2, but P4 with his time management is not a bad thing, and we saw that on Sunday. Anyway, let's talk about the race. If we're being honest, it was business as usual at the back of the grid. Latifi, Schumacher, Mazepin, bottom three. Not much to be said there. Obviously, Schumacher finished ahead of Mazepin despite being however many seconds behind him at one point because, well, to be honest, we don't know, because Haas are never on TV besides when they're being overtaken. So, you know, I'm sure something happened at the back of the grid that's worth talking about. However, we'll never know. However, Latifi's Williams teammate Russell pulled an absolute blinder in the race, finishing P12 on merit. In a normal race with retirements, I mean, like, how often is it we get like barely any races with no retirements, and there was one this weekend. But in a normal race with retirements, Russell could have easily been on for some points, which is amazing really, considering the Williams' form over the last few seasons and earlier in this season. Obviously, we don't really know if the form will be consistent because the car just seems to be hot at some circuits and not at others. They said it was very sensitive to the wind and conditions and stuff, and hopefully they've fixed the sensitiveness, because there were quite a lot of wind issues at Paul Ricard, and obviously it didn't seem to affect Russell too much. So fingers crossed, the Williams may be onto something. And you know, at tracks like Monza and wherever else, I really don't see a reason why they couldn't chance in some points, which will be very nice to see. Obviously then in 17th and 15th there was the Alfa Romeos. I don't even have anything to say about them. No particularly outstanding moves. Quali was average, no points in the race. That just pretty much sums up Alfa Romeo, doesn't it? The big shocks of the weekend, obviously besides the Mercedes Red Bull stuff, was seeing Leclerc finish in P16 after being on pole in Baku last time out. He had an absolute stinker in the race, dropped down from P7 to P16. Ferrari had massive tyre issues. It just seemed to eat up the front. There's new tyre regulations now about the pressures after Baku, but they only seem to impact the back tyres. So I'm not really sure why the Ferraris just melted their tyres, but it led to Charles's worst result for a few years, since like 2018, 2019. Sainz didn't fare quite as badly. He dropped down from P5 to P11, so he only dropped 6 places compared to his teammates 9. But it's still an absolute stinker for Ferrari, considering in the last 2 races they're on the podium once and on pole twice, and now they finish with no points. So obviously it does kind of point out the differences between street circuits and normal tracks, and are not necessarily representative. Next, obviously, we had Alpine with Ocon in 14th. He definitely wanted a better weekend for his home race, and also the weekend following him signing a contract extension. You know, hopefully that's not, oh, pressure's gone, he's got a long-term contract, time to doss around at other points. But I mean, Ocon knows what he's on about. That's definitely not the case. He just seemed to get unlucky. But then again, his teammate Alonso did finish in P8. You know, he gained a place in the race because he qualified 9th, and did hold off a McLaren for a while, but only for like 2 laps. But you know, P8, considering in the first few races of the season he didn't score any points, I'm sure he'll not be turning his nose up at that. However, knowing Alonso, he definitely wants more. Last time out on the podium, not this time obviously, Aston Martin, quite disappointing from them. They had a hard quali, especially with Stroll going out in Q1, but with a car that, well, you know, essentially won a race last season, it's just been painted green. Obviously there's the rake issues that Otmar loves to bang on about, but really they're expecting better than 9th and 10th, and Otmar will be having some very uncomfortable conversations with Stroll Senior, I'm sure. It was nice to see Vettel beat Stroll, because Stroll had him the first few races of the season, so you know, that's good to see. But it again, Aston's performance just shows how street circuits don't really represent true pace, with Aston and Ferrari, who both did well in Baku and Monaco. Obviously Seb held off Hamilton and Gasly or whatever, and came, was it 5th in Monaco, podium in Baku. Stroll did alright in Baku until, you know, he blew up, but they've just fallen down the order dramatically since F1's return to traditional tracks, and with street circuits like Singapore getting cancelled, I'm not entirely sure how well they'll fare for the rest of the season. After qualifying 6th, Gasly finished P7, which is, you know, it's good. Dropped down a place from quali, but considering the strength of the McLarens and stuff, it's still a good haul of points. Finished ahead of, well, you know, everyone else who isn't a top 3 team, so can't really be complaining. He's done very well there. I think, because, you know, he started from the pit lane because he crashed it in quali, Tsunoda shouldn't be overlooked. He managed to finish P13. It would be nice if he could get into the points, but again, a race with no retirements, that was always going to be hard. Good weekend from AlphaTauri. I just can't tell if Gasly's outperforming the car or Tsunoda's underperforming, but I mean, more will become clear in the future. Gasly had one heated moment in the race with Norris. As Nico Rosberg pointed out when they were doing an interview together, Norris called him an idiot, but it you know, just a bit of racing, wasn't that bad. It was fun, it was nice, it was dramatic to see, so that's good. Now, I predicted McLaren would be back on it after the street circuits, and Quali would have suggested I was wrong. However, I was proven right in the race, with Norris finishing P5 and Ricciardo finishing P6. This puts them firmly back in third place in the constructors. And after Ferrari's absolute nightmare this weekend, that's quite comfortably third. I mean, by about 20 points, but you know, that's a decent amount. Ricciardo seemed to be a lot more comfortable, more like his old self. He made some late breaking moves into turn one. I think there was one on Alonso that was on TV, that was on the feed, but that was nice to see. Hopefully it carries on. With normal tracks the norm on the calendar now, and with the two street circuits gone, I do expect McLaren to comfortably beat Ferrari, and hopefully Ricciardo can get back on it and start beating Lando. Obviously I like Lando, but I do want to see Ricciardo, you know, not finishing behind him every race. Obviously then, once you've talked about McLaren, you've got to talk about Mercedes. Poor Ricciardo is normally their happy place, and they've dominated it since it returned to the calendar. I think before this weekend, Hamilton had led 103 out of 106 laps that had been raced around it or something. However, in terms of strategy and pace, just in general, Red Bull pulled an Uno reverse card and beat them on both accounts. I'm sure there's going to be plenty of head scratching going on at Mercedes base in Brackley over the how to pull back the gap to Red Bull over the next two races in Austria, because if the Red Bull absolutely loves Austria, Mercedes' deficit in both constructors is just going to start dropping and dropping. And obviously, with the way Perez is performing, it's definitely advantage Red Bull, considering how Bottas is performing in their second car. Obviously, Bottas came fourth in the race. He had a little bit of a cry and a shout down the radio about being ignored over the fact he was like, my tyres aren't going to last. Why does nobody effing listen to me when I say it's going to be an effing two-stopper, etc, etc. But in reality, I think he was dead in the water. Perez just absolutely loves a bit of time management. He went so long in the first stint that he was always going to be able to skin Bottas by the end of his second stint on those tyres, and he just breezed past him. And honestly, the way Bottas is performing, the way he's having more outbursts and stuff, Mercedes have actually blamed him a few times for things. Like, he does seem to be on limited time, and Russell performing amazingly well, and the Williams getting a P12 on merit. Like, it does just seem like Bottas is on his way out, because P4, you know, P4 and putting up no real fight, because he didn't hold up Max at all. He basically jumped out of the way, and when Perez came to overtake him, he jumped out of the way again, essentially. So it's just not great from Bottas. Obviously, the big story is Hamilton and Verstappen. This weekend sees Red Bull and Max extend their respective championship leads by even more points, because you know Max got fastest lap as well, and every little point helps. This must be just so uncomfortable for Mercedes. Like, Red Bull scored their first three consecutive wins since 2013 with Webber and Vettel, and obviously they won the championship with Vettel in that season. So Mercedes must be absolutely bricking it, trying to figure out how they can pull these, how they can pull this gap back. Red Bull though, like, hats off to them. Like, this shouldn't be portrayed as Mercedes dropping the ball. This is Red Bull being absolutely on it. A combination of just inspired strategy. I say inspired, but really what they did to Mercedes, they did what Mercedes have always done to them. They made the alternate strategy work effectively. It was widely regarded as a one-stopper race. It became quite clear that maybe two stops would work when the tyre deck was higher than expected, but Mercedes decided to go one-stopper, much to the annoyance of Bottas, but they managed to get the two-stopper to work with Verstappen. The strategy was good, obviously, but then obviously there was some amazing racing from Verstappen to catch up with Hamilton and still have tyres left to make the move done, which, to be honest, he got actually done a lot quicker than both the AWS and the AWS stats, those annoying things, and the commentators thought he would. So it's just beautiful to watch, and it's nice for Max to be in the position of being the hunter and hunting down the win, rather than either defending for his life as he was earlier in the race, or being the one being hunted down and having the win taken off him as he was in Barcelona. And you know, Red Bull are never going to let that happen again, especially not just like three races later. So it's good to see that they've got a bit of strategy spark. But like, anyway, like Horner said in an interview, Paul Ricciardo has been a Mercedes stronghold, and like beating Mercedes at Paul Ricciardo means that Red Bull have a legitimate chance to beat them anywhere. In the past, if you look at past years, Red Bull wouldn't have even got a sniff of the top two steps of the podium. Like they could have already engraved Mercedes' name on the P1 and P2. In reality, they could have already engraved Bottas on the P2 because he's not going to win realistically. But with a pole position and a win, and you know, a Red Bull 1-3, like Mercedes only got one car on the podium, Mercedes should be very concerned. And considering Red Bull love a bit of Austria, you know, Verstappen's won there in the past, you know, that overtake on Leclerc. The Mercedes, where it used to, might not be the case anymore, but the Mercedes used to struggle in Austria because of the heat, and you know, it's quite hot right now, so maybe that'll play a factor in it. But with the last two races of the triple header being in Austria, well, that's one thing's for certain, that Mercedes engineers will not be having time off between races, and if Red Bull are on it at those two consecutive races, then Mercedes are in serious trouble in terms of the championship. They really need to do something big to pull it back. But anyway, yeah, it was a great race in France. I chatted a lot of shit in the preview about how crap it was going to be, and I'm, you know, if I'm ever saying a race is going to be bad, I'm more than happy to be wrong and it to be an absolute worldie. Obviously, it wasn't exciting as exciting in terms of action as Baku was, for example, but in terms of the race and the strategy and seeing what Max was able to pull off, it was one of the best races of the season so far. Anyway, thanks for listening. In a preview of the next race in Austria, of course, will be released on Friday. If you enjoyed, please follow the podcast, give it a rate where possible. Follow our social media at 5 Red Lights Podcast on Instagram and at 5 Red Lights F1 on Twitter, even if you only want to yell at me because I slandered your favourite driver. Unless you're a Mazepin fan, you will get blocked. Thanks again. Let's hope Austria is anywhere near as good as France, and I'll see you on Friday.